From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. As time passes and towns grow or shrink, firsthand knowledge about important places fades away. A new virtual trail of African-American heritage in Anne Arundel County aims to halt that loss and preserve historical sites from the past four centuries. Jane Cox of the county's Office of Planning and Zoning tells us about putting the online trail together. And Linda Marshall recounts how they collected oral histories from residents, including memories of segregated beaches.
There were two sisters, one owned Carr's Beach and the other owned Sparrow's Beach, and they were next door to each other. It was a place where African Americans could go for great entertainment. It's part of the Chitlin' Circuit.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Today, it's a private residence, but during the time of segregation, the Upshop served the African-American community south of Annapolis as a grocery store by day and a juke joint for music and dancing by night. The Upshop is one of the nearly 200 sites collected for the project African-American Voices, Memories, and Places, a Four Rivers Heritage Trail. The trail is virtual. You can click on each site to read a description, see old photographs, or hear an interview with someone familiar with the location. The trail was created by local and professional historians, genealogists, and citizens, all working together to identify long-gone and surviving places of importance to African Americans living on the west side of the bay, from St. Margaret's to Friendship, Maryland. Here to talk about the project is Jane Cox, an historian, archaeologist, and chief of cultural resources for Anne Arundel County's Office of Planning and Zoning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Linda Marshall is an oral historian and genealogist who worked on developing the trail. She's vice chair of the board of the Reginald F. Lewis Museum for Maryland African American History and Culture and chairlady emeritus of the Maryland Commission on African American History and Culture. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Where did this idea come from?
My job with the Cultural Resources Division of Anne Arundel County, our primary responsibility is to try to protect and save historic places and share that information with the citizens of the county. And when, about 3 years ago, I did a study of our inventory of sites we could protect and recognized that only about 8% of the sites that we have recorded on that inventory represented the African-American experience in Anne Arundel County.
And knowing 8%.
Only 8%. And this is a legacy of an inventory that's been developed over 40 some years. So something that someone thought of as historic in the 1970s and recorded, they might not have put that component that there was an African-American story to be told. So recognizing that, you know, today about 20% of Anne Arundel County's population is African-American. In the 1860s, in the 1860 slave census, about 38% of the population was enslaved. And when you start to recognize that disparity in the history that we're protecting, the history that we recognize and think is important, this was a really important project to try to bring some equality to that and try to fix that disparity.
Linda?
So I bring to the table my expertise of 56 years of researching pretty much all the particular surrounding areas in Anne Arundel County. And having done that, I've gone back to the slave records. And as Jane said, there was a strong population, heavy population of African Americans back in the 1860s, 1850s, 1870s. And so here we are today with Jane's brilliant idea of bringing this history to the forefront is exactly what I did in conducting the OR interviews.
Right, and I'm going to ask you more about that. But let me ask, Jane, why is it important to document not only schools and churches, but hotels, restaurants, beaches?
One of our goals here was to look at a broader range of the African-American experience in Anne Arundel County. We didn't want to just talk about sites where enslaved people worked or the more conventional. Our inventory included a lot of schools and churches. But what we wanted to try to do is touch on a broader aspect of the history and look at a lot of the positives that are out there. But these stories weren't captured in our inventory. So we looked at things like the entrepreneurs in the Black community over time. We looked at areas where there was a heavy freedmen population that really became, you know, community centers, these African-American enclaves that survive today were started in many cases by those populations. So what we're trying to do is give a broader interpretation and experience of the African-American community.
What is the Four Rivers Heritage Area?
The Four Rivers Heritage Area is an area within Anne Arundel County where there are places where you can go and visit and experience history. It's part of a larger statewide program called the Maryland Heritage Areas Authority, and they provided funding for this project. So Four Rivers is located between Sandy Point and the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, all the way south along the rivers of Anne Arundel County down to the Calvert County line. And that's where this project really focused. We looked at the resources within that zone as opposed to the entirety of Anne Arundel County. So the Four Rivers Heritage Area is the geographic boundaries for our project.
The final product has 200 historic sites, videos, photographs, maps. How long have you been working to put this together?
Approximately 18 months.
Right. We've been at this for 18 months. Mm-hmm. We started the project, brought the team together, which included not only Lindra as the oral historian. We also have been working with Dr. John Killey, who is the project administrator and manager, and several of our team members from Anne Arundel County, including Darian Beverungen and Anastasia Poulos, who helped with the technical aspects. We had a GIS specialist, which worked on the GIS, the technical mapping components. And so over the last 18 months, we've been collecting stories, collecting sites. And I think what's really amazing is that we started with these sites that we had in our inventory. And then when Lindra got involved with starting to put all of these oral histories together, capturing these stories, it just exploded. We have more sites still to add. And Lindra has been a really, you know, wonderful part of the team because of the stories that she's brought to the table.
That's Chief of Cultural Resources for Anne Arundel County's Office of Planning and Zoning, Jane Cox, here on The Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. And also here is historian and genealogist Lindra Marshall. Both worked on a new virtual trail of African-American history in Anne Arundel County. They'll unveil it at an event Saturday afternoon. How did you know when you were finished?
I don't think we are completed, the project. It's like anything else. It'll go on and on and on, long after we are gone, because there's so much history in that Anne Arundel County area, rich history.
Well, what were your criteria for including a site on the trail?
So pretty much what we did was brought people together that had some knowledge of their communities during the Civil Rights era. And so we brought together not only the seniors, I think the oldest person was 103
wow.
years old, and maybe the youngest is about 65 years old.
I want to take a listen to a part of another interview that you did with Robert Janney.
Not too many places we could go during the 50s. We had a lot of restrictions. So if you went, you had your separate place wherever you went. The white folks over here, you over there. Even in Baltimore City, when you went to the park pool in Juvenile Park, you had a colored pool and you had a white pool. You couldn't go to the colored swimming pool, the white swimming pool. Or even the white graveyard. The graveyards were separate. The Masons were separate. You had the Masons, they had that thing here. You had the Methodists, white Methodists and black Methodists. You had white Catholic and black Catholics. So I hope it ain't like that in heaven. You get up there and everything's separate.
Why did you interview Robert Janney?
Robert Janney came to us from a friend. Apparently, Robert had some experience at Carr's Beach.
What is Carr's Beach?
And Carr's Beach was an African-American Beach. There were two sisters, one owned Carr's Beach and the other owned Sparrow's Beach, and they were next door to each other. It was a place where African Americans could go for great entertainment, such as Otis Redding and...
I heard there was a big crowd for Chuck Berry there.
Yes, yes.
But Chuck it goes Berry back even well. Even further than mm-hmm. that, right? It was like part of the Chitlin' Circuit.
It's part of the Chitlin' Circuit. So when those artists came to Carr's Beach in order to make money to pay for their gas getting back to their prospective homes, they circled around to other places such as River Bend, which is in the lower part of Anne Arundel County. And then they would travel to Prince George's County, to Evans Grill. So there was a big circle where these folk traveled in order to make enough money to get back home.
And this may be too much a binary way of looking at it, but of the 200 sites, what proportion are still there and what proportion no longer exists physically?
While we haven't run the numbers, my guess is that for a physical standing building, we probably have about 35% of the trail are places that you can go and physically look at the structure of the building or a community. Many of them are archaeological sites, historic cemeteries. So those are places that you still can go and experience the community or the enclave that was once there.
Such interesting history. We need to take a quick break here on the record. We're talking about a virtual trail that documents nearly 200 sites of African American history in Anne Arundel County. I'm Sheila Cass. When we're back, we'll hear more stories from the Four Rivers Heritage Trail. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. When generations pass on and historic sites go undocumented, that history can be forgotten. A project in Anne Arundel County aims to preserve and pass on the history of African-American residents in the form of a virtual trail. The trail is made of dozens of long-gone and still surviving sites that span centuries, from early in the time of slavery to the era of segregation. The public is invited to Annapolis High School Saturday afternoon to learn about the trail. My guests are Jane Cox, an historian, archaeologist, and chief of cultural resources for Anne Arundel County's Office of Planning and Zoning, and Lyndra Marshall, a historian, genealogist, and vice chair of the board of the Reginald F. Lewis Museum for Maryland African American History and Culture. Where did you find the maps and photographs that are part of the project?
The team that we worked with included historians with John Kelly. Dr. John Kelly has a PhD in American Studies, and we have a team of amazing people that really dug into the archival documentation. We looked through the Maryland State Archives when we identified a location. We looked at census records. We used Ancestry.com. There are many places where you can find these original archival documents. So we used those primary sources to be able to put the stories together and dig a little bit deeper into some of the sites that we may have known about before, but we really fleshed out those stories with the archival resources.
Lyndra, how did you identify the people to interview?
That was easy, simply because I had conducted genealogy on a lot of families and communities. And doing that, I had to go into not only the communities, but also the schools, the churches, places where they shopped, farms where they worked, such as in the Galesville area. So you have farmland on the outskirts, and on the inside, you had watermen. And so because I've known so many people over the course of my life, It was easy for me to identify those persons that I thought had the best stories to tell.
What was the interview process like?
Once I identified the persons, made the contact with them, and then I began to do a little more research myself in the particular areas, pulled out my old notes from 50 years ago and began to go for it.
Oh, you must be well organized if you've got your notes from 50 years ago.
Yes, pretty much a full library of research documents. And so once we did that, then we scheduled the interviews. We had two studios that supported us, one in Annapolis and the other one in Glen Burnie. And we also had, I guess you would call them a primary videographer, Mr. Anthony Smoot, who's also a lover of history. And so between the two of us, we would pull our heads together and figure out this is how we're going to interview that person.
Let's listen to another clip from your oral histories. This is from Betty Turner.
And we had one black salon in Galesville, and that the owner was Ellen Jane Watkins. And I went in her beauty shop, and I worked for up until September, from June to September. And the reason why I left was because she was getting 60% and I was getting 40%. And I always loved clothes, but I always loved shoes the best. And I told her, I said, Aunt Jean, I can't buy shoes with this.
Tell us more about Lady Ellen's Beauty Corner.
So I remember that beauty shop as a child. I had a cousin that worked there. And I would always admire the women that were serviced at the particular beauty shop. And their hair was just so stylish. Not only that, but they had the clothes and the shoes to match. And so when I interviewed Betty and she mentioned how she loved shoes, I could understand that because that was just how all the women that were serviced at that beauty shop dressed. I mean, they always dressed the part, the shoes, the hair, the whole nine yards.
Was Lady Ellen's typical of black-owned businesses in Anne Arundel County in that era?
I would say yes, but Lady Ellen's was a little unique simply because it was like a standalone shop. The cosmetologist worked outside of a beauty shop, not in someone's home.
And Jane, what are some of the other businesses on the Virtual Trail?
There are many in the Annapolis cluster. The way we've divided the trail is by communities basically within the four rivers. We've divided by peninsula. And in the Annapolis Peninsula, there are a lot within the Old Fourth Ward. We talk about those historic businesses. And I think what that really gets to is the economic empowerment of the black community in the 20th century. There are many stories that really show you how well connected and well developed that independent economic community was in the 20th century.
What kind of businesses?
There were hotels. The Wrights Hotel was in the Green Book. Some may have heard of the Green Book from the movie last year. So there were restaurants, there were stores, grocery stores, clothing stores. So it really was an incredibly economically diverse area in the Old Fourth Ward. And we saw that in Galesville. There were several community resources and businesses that really, you know, brought those resources to the community.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with two of the historians behind a virtual trail of African-American heritage in Anne Arundel County, Jane Cox and Lyndra Marshall. Are longer versions of the interviews available for the public to listen to?
Yes. Some of the interviews, on an average, they're between a half an hour to an hour in length.
The whole interview. But when I go to the virtual tour, I get just a couple minutes.
So we have been in a partnership with the Anne Arundel County Public Library System. They will be archiving all of the original transcribed videos and audio so that people can go look at the original source. We've only pulled these, you know, small 3-4 minute snippets for the actual trail experience. But if somebody wants to dig into that, look deeper and hear the full story, they can go to the public library website and they'll be accessible through that platform.
Why a virtual trail? Faced with all these resources, Jane, was that your first instinct, or did you want to make a physical place that people would come to?
Part of the goal of the Four Rivers Heritage Area is to bring visitors to the community. And, you know, as a tourism, heritage tourism is a very important thing. One of the things that we found really interesting, there are a lot of places in Annapolis that you can go and find out more about African-American heritage. And there are a few spots throughout the rest of southern Anne Arundel County. But what we started to find as we did this research is that way too many of these places are gone now. And we had to come up with a way that we could express that history, share that history, that might not have a physical place where somebody can go visit today, but also be able to learn these stories of places that are long gone. So we, you know, really looked at the archaeological record. There are archaeological sites where we can learn about this history. And it gives a way for people that can't necessarily get in the car and drive around the heritage area to learn about the history of the area.
Linda Marshall, do you have a favorite spot, a favorite site on the virtual trail?
One of my favorite spots is the Upshop. And reason being is because that was my great-grandmother's store.
Oh.
Yes. And I remember as a child people patronizing her shop. On Saturdays, when I would go visit my great-grandmother, somewhere around 4 o'clock, there was a bell on the top of the hill, and someone would ring that bell so that the community would know that it was being converted from the store to a juke joint.
It was a formal moment when the conversion
yes.
to juke joint was made. Jane, what's your favorite location on the virtual trail?
I think the complex of sites that we've identified in Galesville, the Galesville community is just incredibly rich with African-American heritage. And we were able to put on the map sites, many of them that aren't there anymore, and to see the family connections that you have in Galesville, the many family names, the Turners, the Crowners, these names continue to seep through southern Anne Arundel County history. And it's finally an opportunity to see those interconnections and see those family units and connections. So I think that's the Galesville complex is probably my favorite.
Lindra, how do you hope the public interacts with this trail?
Well, I'm hoping that, especially with the younger generation, whose parents had moved away from their various communities or ancestral homes, I'm hoping that especially the young people get the opportunity to come back home, to learn the great history, to learn the educational system, how their ancestors worked, the places they worked, how they farmed, the fishing industry. And so my goal is, you know, even though most of us are much older now, but we do have memories of the communities, I'm hoping that the younger people will come back and learn their rich history.
Jane, what does this project say about who is a historian?
I think that the work that Lindra has done reaching out to the people that can tell these stories firsthand proves that you don't have to have a degree in history. History is all around us. And being able to tap into those local communities, those local stories, there's so much I've learned. I've been with the county now for 22 years, and I've learned more in the last 18 months about the history of Anne Arundel County because
really?
We're finally seeing these firsthand stories, things that just aren't written down in the history books. It's these oral traditions. It's the memories. And so I think what it says about being a historian is that everybody is a historian. Don't forget to share your stories and make sure that we know about these places so that we can help protect the places themselves and the memories.
Well, you've done a great job of sharing your excitement about it today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jane Cox is a historian, archaeologist, and chief of cultural resources for Anne Arundel County's Office of Planning and Zoning. Lindra Marshall is a historian, genealogist, and vice chair of the board of the Reginald F. Lewis Museum for Maryland African American History and Culture. She is chairlady emeritus of the Maryland Commission on African American History and Culture. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we'll have a link to the trail, and the public is invited to attend a public reveal of the site this Saturday, July 20th at 4 p.m. at Annapolis High School. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're with us. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.